looking at blessed life as a life shaped by personal experiences. These are ongoing experiences, not just something that's occasional. It's indicated by the phrase, I have. Again, it's not they have, or we have, but I have, so it's very personal experience. We've seen that there's an inward stirring that every child of God experiences, and those who live this life that is being described experience it in an ongoing way. It's also living in accord with God's principles, we've seen. Again, that's a continuous, ongoing thing. And we saw last time it involves an honest confession before God, being honest with the Lord. And the next thing we read in verse 43, the last part of that, we'll just read the whole verse. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. And then notice, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Verse 74 says, I have hoped in thy word. This speaks of an experience, personal experience of an assurance, a personal assurance. We see here in verse 43 and verse 74, these are the words of someone who has, first of all, a recognition of God's word in his life. He obviously possesses some understanding of God's word in order to hope in his word. He has some grasp of the word of God. And those are qualities that is a recognition and understanding and a grasp of God's word. Those are qualities that result in wonderful personal experiences, and they are key. They are a key ingredient to living this life that is being described. So he says, I have hoped, says it twice, verse 43, verse 74. He's not referring to a I hope it will happen kind of hope. It's not a mere notion, an hypothesis. It's not simply a feeling. But all through the Bible, it is a hope of assurance. It is a hope of certainty. It is something that we are very conscious of. And this, of course, is not something that we can create in ourselves. It's not something that we can work up. It is something that is bestowed by the Holy Spirit. So it's a Holy Spirit-produced confidence, a Holy Spirit-produced persuasion. And all through the Word of God, we can give example upon example, there is a tone of certainty all through the Word of God, revealing that this certainty, this assurance, is a scriptural matter. We ought to be certain. We ought to be absolutely persuaded concerning some things. And again, we see this tone all the way through the Word of God. Notice in Job chapter 19, and again, the ones who have the most assurance are the ones who live the happiest lives. In Job 19, verse 25, Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. It's not a hope he lives. It's I know. There's no doubt in his mind whatsoever, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, speaking of victory. He's absolutely certain of this. And then you can go down in verse 26 and verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. That is, someone else isn't going to see him for me and tell me what they saw. though my reins be consumed within me. So he spoke with absolute certainty. Psalm 23, as you read that psalm, we'll not turn there, but very familiar passage of Scripture, you see a tone of certainty all the way through Psalm 23, in particular verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a tone of certainty. And then in verses 4 through 6, we see that tone of certainty again. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, very familiar passage, but we see there is a tone of certainty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and also verse 6. And as you read down through 2 Corinthians 5, you see this tone of certainty all through. But he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 6, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul says that he's persuaded once again. So we see this tone of certainty. And if you go over to the book of 1 John, we see a very common word throughout the book of 1 John is this word, know. We know. We know. That is, we are certain. And he mentions several truths that we know. We're absolutely certain of. In verse 3 of chapter 2, "And hereby we do know that we know Him." So we can, it's more than knowing Him, it's knowing that we know Him. "If we keep His commandments, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." So again, there's this tone of certainty. In verse 18 of the same chapter, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." We know this. We're absolutely certain of this. We are absolutely persuaded of this. Verse 20, "But we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Verse 21, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." In verse 29, "If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." 1 John chapter 3, in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," so we know that he's going to appear, "and we know that we shall be like him when he does appear, and we shall see him as he is when he does appear." And again, there's this tone of certainty. Verse 5, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So we see here we're absolutely certain of his work, of dying on the cross. We're also absolutely certain of his person. In him is no sin. We see in verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." We know this. We're absolutely certain that we have passed from death unto life. Verse 19, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." We know that we are of the truth. And as we know, we know that we are associated with the truth. Verse 24, "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So it's the Holy Spirit within us that gives us this certainty. Verse 2 of chapter 4, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. We know the Spirit of God. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we know the spirit of truth. We know the spirit of error. We're absolutely certain about this. This certainty gives us the ability to make discernment. In chapter 5 and verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. In verses 13 through 15, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may know, that ye may be absolutely certain that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We see the same tone of certainty in verses 18 through verse 20. In verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true. So there are a lot of people in so-called Christendom who do not possess this assurance. In fact, they think, they teach, that to be this certain would be pride. But it's not assurance in ourselves. It is assurance in God. And all through the Bible, we see that we as God's people can have the personal experience of assurance. Now, the Bible speaks in Colossians 2, verse 2, Hebrews 6, verse 11, Hebrews 10, verse 22, of full assurance. Full assurance. Colossians 2, and verse 2, we read, riches of the full assurance of understanding. So there's this full assurance is connected to understanding. Full assurance of understanding. In Hebrews 6, verse 11, the assurance of the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hebrews 10, verse 22, we read that we're to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So faith is involved in this assurance as well, and we'll get to that in a little while. But this assurance, this full assurance, is comprehensive, it's all-encompassing, it's complete. We know that natural life upon the earth is full of troubles, it's full of turmoil, it's full of upheaval and unrest and uncertainty. But there is an assurance that the child of God has that raises him above all the turmoil of the earth. It is a Holy Spirit imparted assurance that rises us above this world. In the midst of a world that is filled with doubt, everywhere you go, people have doubt. They're uneasy. They have this feeling of insecurity. This Holy Spirit imparted assurance is something that we have, and it is the hallmark of a blessed life. You will not live this blessed life without this full assurance. We're not to waver. We're not to be blown with the wind. We are to know. We are to know God. We are to know God's Word. We are to have this certainty, this confidence. And again, it's not an occasional matter. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, we read that we are to abound in. That is, we're to be full of, we're to overflow. Abound in hope. And he goes on to say, through the power of the Holy Ghost. That is, this hope, this assurance, comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And once again, it is a hallmark of this blessed life. So the blessed life is a life filled, guided, motivated by this hope, this assurance. And this hope, this assurance, this certainty, it's not blind optimism. It's just like faith is not blind. It's not blind. It's not without an object. It's not without a basis. Blind optimism is something that has no object to base it upon. It has no basis. That's blindness. Faith has a basis. Faith has an object. Assurance has an object. It has a basis. The object and basis of this assurance is not ourselves. It's not others. If that was the object of our assurance, we could never have full assurance. Because if its basis is in ourselves or others, we are going to fail. Others are going to fail. And there goes our assurance. But this assurance, it doesn't have its basis in ourselves. It doesn't have its basis in others. And it does not have its basis in circumstances. Circumstances change all the time. Circumstances change throughout the day. Circumstances can change by the minute. But this isn't the basis of our assurance. So when things are going bad, when we think they're going bad, when it appears that they're going bad, we still have this assurance because our assurance is not based upon circumstances. The object of our assurance is not circumstances. The object and the basis of our assurance is God. It's God. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "The God of hope, the God of assurance." This is where our assurance is. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 21, it is written that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith and hope is not in ourselves. Our faith and hope is not in others. Our faith and hope is not in circumstances. Our faith and hope is in God. And if that is the basis, if that is the object of our faith, if that is the object of our hope, then we can have full assurance. We can be absolutely certain. So that your faith and hope might be in God. God. That includes all that God is. That's where our faith, that's where our hope is to be. That's the foundation of blessed assurance. There's no such thing as blessed assurance if it's not in God. That's the only place where you can have blessed assurance. And this blessed assurance characterizes this blessed life. It's also in Christ. Notice in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, which is our assurance. He is our certainty. Once again, it's not in ourselves, it's not in others, it's not in circumstances. Our assurance is in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Our assurance is also has its basis in the grace of God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16, "...hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Through grace. Hope is not based upon our works. It's not based upon the works of others. It is based upon grace. It is hope through grace. In other words, grace is the channel of this assurance that characterizes the blessed life. And as we saw in verse 43 and verse 74 of Psalm 119, the object of this hope is also the Word of God. "For I have hoped in thy judgments, for I have hoped in thy Word." Colossians 1 and verse 23, we read of the hope of the gospel. So this is where our assurance is. This is the object of our certainty. It is God. It is Jesus Christ. It is the grace of God. It is the Word of God. And based upon those things are unchanging. We can have absolute certainty. It is an assurance. It is a confidence. It is a certainty that is established in God and not man. It is something that we are to hold firmly to, our assurance. Satan will try to rob us of assurance. Satan will try to fill our minds with doubt. And we are warned that we are to hold unto this assurance. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 and also verse 14. Hebrews 3, verse 6. But God has a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence, that's that assurance, and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We're to have this confidence, we're to hold unto it firmly unto the end. How do we do that? We do that by keeping our eyes, our minds upon God, upon the object of our hope. We do not get distracted from the object of our hope, from the basis of our hope. That's the only way that you can hold on to it. You keep focused upon the object of hope. You do not let self, you do not let others, you do not let circumstances divert you from the object of hope. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. That tells us how we're to hold it. We're to hold it steadfast. How long? Unto the end. Unto the end. The fact that we are told two times here in this chapter that we are to hold unto this assurance tells us that it is very likely that we can lose this assurance. And if we lose this assurance, then we're no longer going to live this life that is being described in Psalm 119. We hold this assurance by faith. Again, we see God by faith. We trust His Word by faith. We see Jesus Christ by faith. We have warning also in Colossians 1, verse 23. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Again, the object of hope there is the gospel. Be not moved away from it. The very words imply that it is possible to be moved away from the hope of the gospel, from the assurance of the gospel. But we are to not be moved. That is, we're to keep our eyes, we're to keep our faith on the object. Romans chapter 4, we see this faith and hope, how the two work together. Romans chapter 4, we have the example of Abraham. In verse 17, about halfway down there, it says, he believed. He believed. That's faith. He believed God. That's the object of faith. Verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith. So we're told that he believed. That's faith. Now we're told something about his faith. He was not weak in faith. Verse 20. We see something else about this faith. It kind of explains what it means to not be weak in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So three times we are told, verse 17, verse 19, verse 20, that he believed, that he had faith. Then notice verse 21, and being fully persuaded, that's assurance. That's assurance. And being fully persuaded, he was confident that what he had promised, notice the he, that's God, that's the object of his assurance, that's the object of his faith. And having believed God, he is fully persuaded.